Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob and Scott review a highly rated wine from Marietta Cellars that's value priced. It's their Old Vine Red, lot number 73. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome, everybody, to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy. And tonight, I am joined by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
Good evening, Rob. It's good to be here.
I know. On tonight's show, folks, we have a wine from a winery that we've done many things with over the years.
Friend of the show.
But this is something that we've alluded to, but never drank on the show. And this is their Old Vine Red.
Marietta Cellars.
Yes, lot blend. This is lot 73, actually. And what their lot blend is, and Scott will love this, it's a field blend, and it's blend over, they blend multiple vintages, okay? So it's a Solera of sorts, you know, you might young, old. Nothing's too old, though, I would hope to God not. This comes in around $17, $16. Sometimes you can find it a little bit cheaper. I remember back in the day, this was $9.99. And... Ooh. Yeah. Next year will be lot... Oh, actually, now I saw that lot 74 has been released by the winery. It doesn't have any reviews. This one is highly reviewed, just like everything else from Marietta Cellars right now. So, hot wine. I had the I had the lot 71 and the lot 72 in the past. And one thing I will say about them, they're very easy to drink. They're drinkers. I don't know that I necessarily...
It's good because we're drinkers.
Well, yeah. I never necessarily would call them thinkers, but they're drinkers. Predominantly, though, it is Zinfandel. And then there are some amounts of Syrah, Petit Syrah, Grenache, Barbera, and Carignan. And the Carignan and the Barbera just dashes.
Twinkles.
Dashes.
A twinkle in your eye.
I know. To give you a little background, winemaker's notes... The OVR Lot 73 is bright and juicy with strawberry and black raspberry, supported by savory notes of briar and slate. Slotty,
you were going to say slotty, weren't you?
No.
I can't imagine you didn't jump in.
I know. Yeah. Oh, yes.
No, the fruity and fresh Zinfandel from 2020 is given added complexity and length by barrel-aged Syrah and Petit Syrah from the 19 and 18 vintage. There you go. That's interesting. A touch of Grenache and Barbera add more complexity, red fruit character, and a hint of red licorice and white pepper. So that's interesting. Right there, the winemaker's notes are telling you the Zin is the 2020, and then the Syrah and the Petit Syrah are just a little bit older that have been barrel-aged.
Hmm.
Fantastic.
Interesting.
Thank you for telling us that, winemaker's notes. Beautiful.
But we're nervous because it's... a non-vintage product that always gives us a little bit of pause.
No.
But you've had it before, so
I have. 36,000 cases made, 60% aged in neutral barrels and 40% aged in stainless steel. 13.5% alcohol, which is a little bit low for a Zin, but that's okay.
It is a little low. It's non-vintage.
You're afraid of non-vintage, aren't
I
you?
I have great deal of fear for non-vintage wines.
Would it make you feel better? You know what? Wilford would like to help you relax.
Yes, I would, Scott. Scott, I have a couple jokes for you.
Lord.
You know? Yeah. Hey, what's the difference between your job and a dead prostitute?
My job and a dead prostitute?
Yes.
Nothing.
Oh, you might be, because Scott is a prof. No, your job still sucks. Yeah. What's long and hard and has cum in it?
What?
What's long and hard and has cum in it?
I don't know.
A cucumber. Get it? That's right.
That's great. Wilford Wong.
Yes.
Wilford's jokes of the week.
I've got 70 of these.
You
Save them.
I read one for...
Save them.
I gave one to Becky earlier, and she loved it. She loved that joke, didn't she? No, she vomited, actually, when I told the joke.
Well, yeah. She's still throwing up yeah. her mouth, I'm sure.
Yeah, I know. Yes. Hey, Scott, what goes in hard and dry but comes out soft and wet?
I don't know, Wilfred.
Gum. Oh, why are you... Lord. You always have this dirty mind, Scott. There's always a clean answer to everything. You pervert.
Anyway, folks, we're going to take a break. But then, we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. Hey everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So, Scott had said off the air, I had read the winemaker's notes from wine.com, but didn't read the reviews, and he was upset. And
I am upset.
And I explained to him that was the teaser.
That's right, Scott. The fourth finger is the teaser. You remember the teaser, don't you?
Rib.
I'll remind you later.
Rib for your and her pleasure. Right? I know. The teaser.
That's true.
Yeah. No, sure.
I don't know. Anyway, it does have critical acclaim, according to wine.com.
Yes, I'm back. Yeah, and this is Wilfred Wong, and I'm reading some reviews. The first one being from the Wine Spectator. They gave it 90 of their points, Scott. That's a lot of points.
They didn't give it 90 words.
No, they didn't. Tastes like the gutsy field blends popularized by Italian immigrants back in the day, with potent wild berry, licorice, and smoky cracked pepper flavors that finish with broad-shouldered tannins. Zinfandel, period. Zinfandel is not a sentence. Why did they do that for?
It's a point of emphasis.
Was he writing something else and then he was hit over the head and mugged? I think that's what happened.
I wish that's what happened to you.
I was. And they took my kidney.
Oh, thank you.
No, that was when you passed out in the hotel room. Get your story straight.
No, I gave myself drugs and I passed out. That's right.
Anyway, let's get serious. This is James, not Wilfred Wong. Oh, my gosh. This is James Suckling. I reviewed this wine myself, and I did give it 91 of my points, the dreaded 91.
James, do you find Wilfred's jokes comical?
I could read you one, Scott.
No.
Which sexual position produces the ugliest kids?
I don't know, James.
Ask your mother.
It would have been funnier, James, if you just said, ask my mother.
My mother's dead.
Well,
how dare you? Well, you know. Anyway, lovely aromas of pitted red cherries, black cherries, moss, and walnut. Moss and well, medium to full-bodied with gentle tannins. Nice intensity with lovely length. Juicy with so much herbal complexity and black fruit. Predominantly Zinfandel with Syrah, Petit Syrah, Grenache, Barbera, and Carignan. And then... This is a Southern man, Robert Parker, his wine advocate. They advocated very strong for this wine, Scott. I would like to say, just like I advocate for Southern rights and secession and all sorts of great stuff.
That's a good HBO program.
That's true. Is it? I don't know.
It was.
Well, they gave it 95 of their points.
Whoa.
That's a lot of points.
Whoa!
And they wrote the non-vintage OVR. Lot 73 is composed mainly of Zinfandel, with smaller portions of Syrah, Petit Syrah, Carignan, and Barbera. You know Hanna-Barbera?
Oh, I love it.
Don't they make that Yogi Bear with a hat, right?
Well,
that's nice.
You like his bow. You like his bow tie. Particularly,
he wears a collar and a bow tie, but then he's nude.
You would notice that, Southern man.
Well, why would he wear a collar and a bow tie than be nude? One time, though, I do.
Why do you wear a bow tie and a collar and are nude?
Because I'm paid to go into parties with a collar and a bow tie and I'm nude.
Okay.
And Wilford, you still owe me $15 from my last appearance. But anyway, medium ruby, it offers intense red cherry, blood orange, apricot perfume with. Yeah, whatever. Accents.
Rooibos.
Well, I wasn't laughing at that. I was laughing at all the nonsense shit that they said it smells like. So I was like, fuck you. It don't smell all. Rooibos, tea leaves, red licorice, saline, light. Like, oh, come on. Fuck you. It does not. And loads of spicy nuances. What the fuck are you smelling, Robert Parker? That does not damn well smell like all that shit. The medium-bodied palate is light on its feet with soft tannins, bursts of fresh acidity, and detailed Amaro accents on the long finish. This is so easy to drink, and it's so easy to cash the checks that Marietta Sellers paid me to say all this shit. Oh, I'm sorry. That's it.
It's
bullshit. Come on now.
When
red cherry, blood orange, apricot perfume. Apricot perfume.
We're not passing the look test. It's 4 points higher than James. I overscore every fucking thing. Suckling.
That is correct. Yes, I would like to say I do wear apricot perfume. It's sticky and gnats fly on me, so don't wear it. Yellow jackets also like it quite a bit, I found. So It becomes quite uncomfortable. I screamed and ran, and they still chased me.
If welt's still on you under your eyes, it looks painful.
No, that's a sexually transmitted disease, Scott.
In your eyes.
Yes. Don't ask me how.
Didn't your mother tell you to keep your eyes to yourself?
Don't go to houses of ill repute in Uruguay. That's all I can say.
What's wrong with Uruguay?
Well, certain parts of it there, you get STDs in your eyes from
great tannin.
Yeah. Well, yes, we do. We have one for the show, folks. We almost drank it. We almost did tonight, but it's 16% alcohol. So Rob the Wine Guy said, "Whoa!" But I almost did.
He said, "Whoa."
Well, it's like 16. Then again, the second wine is 15 and a half. So I don't know. We're going to do it soon, though.
Yeah. On the nose. Yeah. In the glass.
This must be the best smelling wine ever.
Not that either of the reviews have anything similar. Oh, wait. They both said red cherries.
It does smell like red cherries. I'm just looking for the lilac.
Apricot? Rooibos tea leaves?
Well, I don't know what those smell. Orange. It's a nicely perfumey cherry aroma. It's a nice nose, but it's not wildly complex as Parker has suggested. This is 1 point off Marietta Cristo, and Cristo does have a nose like that.
But it also has some.
A little bit of licorice in the background, but it's fairly faint.
I've got a good bit of tartaric acid crystalline deposits when I
a little bit
whip this. Quite a bit, actually. I'm going to wonder about the acidity in this sucker.
And it's not that Scott and I are wondering if this will be good or not. We think it'll be a nice wine. It's just 95 points from Parker used to mean something. Like the big dog Numanthia would be 95 points. A first growth Bordeaux would be 95 points. You get excited about it. This is an inexpensive wine that's so easy to drink, according to Parker's cronies. And you just kind of say, slow down. We haven't wildly disagreed, really, with their other ones. The Arme is magnificent. It's worth it. It's scored appropriately. The Christos is scored appropriately within reason. Yeah, you know, maybe 2 points off. But, you know, to be in the ballpark of Parker's score, we would have to personally be in the 92, 93 range. And that would be, I think that's a stretch right now.
Over the years.
Having not drank it.
We've aligned with that organization's wine scores as much as any organization's wine scores. In general.
In general.
Particularly in Parker was still involved with the organization before he retired, sold, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. But for them to be 4 points higher than Suckling, mm-hmm. I've never seen that. I just don't. And James is an overscorer, period.
Yes, I am. I'm quite a bit. That and a raging alcoholic and other things that are illegal in Thailand, apparently. And Fiji.
Illegal in Thailand? Yeah. I didn't know there was any such thing.
You can get lobster for a dollar and, you know, there's many back alleys. And there are laws there.
Oh, Lord.
They are enforced. When you have to flee Thailand and come back to the United States, you've done something really, really wrong. So normally it's the other way around. But the nose is fine. It's bright. It's not even brambly. It's just a little.
It's a nice nose. Bright is a good word.
Yeah.
It's a nose to me that, yeah. And not just a little bit.
It might have
crystals.
a little oregano. I'm getting a little oregano.
The nose makes me think of acidity.
Yeah. No.
Don't know why.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah.
It does.
A little menthol too, but there's a little pop of oregano. And that's nice, which nobody
maybe
mentioned.
That's what Suckling was talking about, the walnut, something
no,
earthy.
Herbal complexity, I said, generally.
That sounds like he was talking about on the palate. If this has an herbal complexity on the palate, maybe it is headed for Parker's 95. In the glass, it looks the part. A little bit of translucent. It's not the darkest thing, but it's a 13.5 Zin.
Ooh. Okay, I just drank it. Scott hasn't drank it yet. Ooh.
Ooh.
Well, I'll start off by saying...
Ooh. He'll start off by saying...
Well, drink,
ooh.
Scott. Drink.
Ooh. He doesn't often go, ooh, when he starts out. It makes me a little nervous when he does.
This is a major departure from historic... Oh, my good God. OVRs. The length of this wine is insane. I've not seen length like this ever in an OVR. Not even anywhere close to this. And it's all black pepper spice on the finish. And it goes for a minute. The wine itself is surprisingly large. The mid palate might be a little bit subdued, but the outward structure of the wine is quite impressive. It's a lot more. It does remind me of the other Marietta things that we've had that have Zin, but it reminds me a little bit of the Christos, honestly. And the Christos is a bigger wine, a more plush, richer wine, but
it's got it's more of a blend than this is. This is more
Zinfandel. Yeah. And that's more the Syrah and Grenache, I do believe.
Yep.
So,
it's the oak. It's a little.
It's got very, very pleasing black fruit on the front palate. Plum. It's not quite, well, a little bit of cassis, but more of a blackberry and plum. And that's really, really nice. So it works as a quaffer. And then it's just, the mid palate is a little bit light, but then the finish comes back in. And it's just all that nice black pepper spice that just goes and goes and goes.
And it changes in the finish. The oak, I'm trying to find the way I want to describe the oak in it, but it's got so much going on with the earthiness, the black pepper, and it is highly herbal.
You know what? You would be, if you put this in a kind of a tulip-shaped bottle, with a maroon and green label on it, would you piece of? I'm saying it tastes like a Turley wine. It does.
It doesn't have the mouthfeel.
But I'll give you that.
It has
a level of complexity. We're going to have to double back on the advocate being out of line, I think. This is really good.
Well, I mean, it lacks a little bit of the mouthfeel, but not a lot of the mouthfeel. And it's also 13.5%.
Yes.
And it's doing all this. This, if anything, tasted like a Turley that wasn't a Turley, this tastes like a Turley.
Outside of the mouthfeel. It doesn't have like, a...
More like the Casa Nuestra. More that than say, like, Old Vines Inn or Jupiter.
Right.
It tastes more like the Casa Nuestra because it's more of a blend.
It just has a Turley level of complexity.
It does. And a flavor profile that reminds me of Turley's.
The complexity and just the different things you can get out of Turley. The different regions, the way they do Zinfandel, the way they treat it, the way they oak it. God, I was so afraid of this wine. And Rob Dern, this is a special wine.
Yeah, it's just a smidge under a Turley mouthfeel. It's a smidge.
But I want to come back to that oak, and there's so much going on in the finish. Mm-hmm. I want to say it's like a charred oak, but not quite.
Well, it's all neutral, so it shouldn't be charred, but. I forget. Where did they get the... I'm thinking about where their Zin is pulled out of. It's all Sonoma, isn't it? So, but it's not Dry Creek. Well, maybe it is.
I'm nodding my head like the listeners can hear.
It might even have some Dry Creek in it. Because it almost comes... But yeah, the balance of the fruits, the Syrah, the Grenache, the Barbera, the Carignan, and the Petite Syrah, all kind of come along like Turley does. That's about as high a praise as we can find, folks.
Hello.
Because it has a laid-back style in its complexity. Yeah, this is a different wine than they have had. Like the 70, the 72 was nice, right? The Lot 72. This is different. This is a different wine altogether.
Seeing any tech sheets or anything to talk about this wine. They're actually up to 74
mm-hmm.
now.
I would assume the oaking is similar. And I think most of the Zin is probably on stainless, and then your Syrah and Petite Syrah are barrel-aged.
I don't know. I can't. Okay, so the Lot 74... This is a multi-vintage field blend. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you get a multi-vintage field blend. How the fuck do you get a multi-vintage field blend?
They never really thought about what that actually means.
Yeah, so that bugged me. And
what
I
if
didn't
they keep the
out.
Barrels in the field?
Yeah, so obviously they had.
What
a
if they have a no,
this year?
Scott, what if they have a time machine?
Okay,
and then they go back. That's how they do all this. It's like, you know. They never really thought.
Let's do the time warp again.
Folks, what Scott's saying is a field blend are basically you might have grapes that are intermingled where they haven't necessarily taken great care as to my Zin crop is this row right here. My Petite Syrah crop is that. Sometimes you can have intermingled stuff where they're not quite sure. And what they're doing is they're just pulling everything together, not necessarily concerning themselves with percentages and finding a good wine in a group.
Just the way it grows naturally in the field, per se.
Yeah.
Or sometimes it's just a matter of they harvest a field and they'll pull some out so it won't be a true field blend. So there's some bastardization of that
goes
on.
Well, sometimes it's because they're jack wagons. But
it's a multi-vintage field blend. So, And other piece of literature it talked about this was the 2020 Zin, but 2019 Petite Syrah, and Barbera. That's not a field blend.
Well.
That's not a field blend.
It would be difficult.
It's okay. We're going to overlook that.
Yes, it's not a field blend at all, is it? If everything else was aged, and they come from different years, and you harvested Zin, right? And then you mixed it with barrel-aged other grapes, right? That's not a field blend.
Or
But wait a minute, Scott. 1%
was a
the 1% the Carignan was. It was one vine.
Four grapes.
It was five grapes. We're not quite sure about that, you know?
But it actually be a lot of grapes because this is 36,000, at least the lot 74 is 36,000 cases.
Yeah, yeah.
60% aged in a neutral, 40% aged in stainless steel. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of surprised by that level of stainless steel.
Well, well, you're also surprised by the fuel blend, but you know.
I'm not surprised by the fuel blend. I'm doubting it.
No, no, you're saying you're calling them liars is what you're doing. Well, you know, that's just pretty mean. You know, well, you know, you're being pretty nasty. You know what, Scott? I think you need another joke. Hey, Scott.
Oh, Lord.
Scott. I'll tell you a good joke, not a bad joke. Scott, what's the difference between a genealogist and a gynecologist?
Oh, Lord. Barn boots?
No. A genealogist looks up the family tree. A gynecologist looks up the family bush.
Oh, Lord.
That's not even a good one.
It's not.
No.
Not that any of yours have been good
ones. Scott, why do women wear panties with flowers on them?
Oh, Lord.
Do you?
I don't know.
In loving memory of all the faces of that have been buried there. That's right. You get it?
Let's just hope that Marietta Sellers then is from Sonoma, which we love Sonoma. We love Sonoma's.
Hey, Scott.
No.
You want to hear a joke about my penis?
No, I don't.
Oh. Oh, never mind, it's too long. You know, some of these jokes are terrible. I didn't write them. Especially the panties one. That's terrible.
Yeah. You're a bad man.
I didn't write this shit.
I know, Rob the one guy did. He's a bad
man. I didn't write it either. It's online. Yeah. Trust me, those are better.
Sure they are.
Those are the best bad ones I could find.
Lord. I
know. Folks, you could read those too. Laugh.
But 45-second finish?
Oh, easily.
Mm-hmm. And, folks, this is not this finish that lingers, and it's what we say 45 seconds. It's this lingering finish. This thing is long and strong.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're bound to get the friction on. I mean, whoo.
It's a wine that has intensity, folks. I mean, it's a... When we say it's a Turley clone, we mean it. I mean, it drinks above its weight. This does not taste like a $15.99 wine. It just does not. Tastes like a $45 bottle of wine. It does. It just does. Not lying to you.
You have to have this in your life.
If you like Zin, if you like blends, California blends.
If you like French.
If you like French.
I'm not saying this is anything like French.
If you like
French
pina coladas, if you like getting lost in the rain, if you're not into yoga, if you have half a brain. Oh.
Do you like champagne?
If you like making love at midnight in the dune of the Cape, you're the lady I've looked for. Write to me and escape.
Wow. Jesus.
That's right.
Oh, my God.
They do escape. They jump out the damn band door when he has them in there.
What? Oh, Lord. Savory, some bright fruit.
Yes.
What's that earthiness on the palate? It's an herbaly note. No, that's a little almost headed for tar.
Well, you remember at Brio Italian, whatever it is, they have like that cracker bread.
Yeah.
But yeah, it has that seasoning. What the hell is that seasoning? What's on that? A little turmeric.
Maybe.
It's It's a little turmeric, paprika. Indian spice is what it is. It's like an Indian food spice. Not quite curry, but, you know, it's a little bit of turmeric is what it is.
Yeah, I'll give you that. But right in there is at the start of the finish. There's like a, almost like a bit of tar.
No, yeah, I think that's where the oak is kicking in a little bit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But then it wafts into that black pepper and cayenne. That's just gorgeous. That's my favorite thing, the black pepper and the cayenne. I just love that.
Chewy tannins that really don't show themselves until the finish.
It's definitely tannic.
But they don't overwhelm anything about the wine.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the finish, they're omnipresent. They're just a big part of the backside of the finish. I could see where this wouldn't be for everybody because it doesn't have... It's not a Brambley Berry Zin. And if this isn't for you, I say... good, because there's more for me then.
Yeah, look, there is Zin there, but it takes on the properties of the blend more so than the Zin. The Zin is the base, but this doesn't taste of the Zin. That's why I said like the Casa Nuestra from Turley. This has a little bit of that kind of take on red wine.
There's a French style blend je ne sais quoi, even if it's mostly Italian ingredients.
I think that they would think that it's Italian, but there is a bit of an Italian quality to it.
Except most of those Italian blends that are of this nature aren't as long as this. They aren't as...
No.
They're not as... And actually, this isn't full-bodied... But they're a little lighter on the palate than this.
Mm-hmm.
We're not comparing this to like a Super Tuscan or something like that. We're talking about that Primitivo Italian blend, that style.
Those are
Italian
more blend. A quaffing barbecue rib kind of thing.
Usually.
This is not that.
This is a bit of a thinker.
Yeah.
It's an easy drinker. I couldn't recommend something more highly than this. For the price point? So, part of me... I'd forgotten this was a non-vintage.
Yeah.
And that always gives me pause. And then when you were reading the winemaker's notes, and it was like, multi-vintage field blend. I'm like, come on, guys. Please, don't say things like that.
Oh, they're special.
They are special. Marietta Sellers is special. What?
I mean, right now they're just like strutting around because every fucking thing. The Ronin Zin, is it Ronin or Roman? Roman.
Roman.
It was okay. We didn't love it, but
it was good though.
It was good. But the rest of this shit, the Arme.
Cristo.
Fucking Cristo.
Arme was so nice.
Mm-hmm.
Cristo, I've got two bottles. When I buy a couple cases just for drinkers, I always throw a couple Cristos in there. Mm-hmm. I forget what the vintage is, but it's the first time I've had the latest vintage.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited to try that.
I would love a wonderful plate of Frank's mushroom risotto with this wine. And that's such an unusual pairing with a Zin-based wine. But this wine
be fantastic.
Works with that.
I think any, you know, you could go with...
French.
Anything that's... like a Marsala.
Oh, Veal Marsala would be nice. Oh, yeah, because of the mushrooms. But once again, the mushrooms.
Yeah, I think mushrooms is a great pairing for this.
Anything that is French cuisine. I'm not talking about... Anything that's French cuisine also would work well with this. So...
I've been making
terrine,
a cheat cream of mushroom soup.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So I'll take a can of over-the-counter cream of mushroom soup,
mm-hmm.
but then I'll do a couple different pounds of mushrooms, garlic, maybe onion, maybe celery, whatever, and then blend that in with my cream of soup. But it's going to be, that cream of soup is going to be cooking in with some type of stock, usually a homemade stock.
Oh, yeah.
And then adding my own generous volumes of olive oil, butter, and heavy whipping cream.
Oh, Lord.
Mm-hmm. So it's definitely a doctored, almost from scratch, cream mushroom soup. This would be fantastic with that. Mm-hmm. This would be fantastic with that.
If you're talking steak, no. Ribeye is too sweet with the fattiness.
This would be a great pairing for a filet.
Great pairing with a filet, especially with sautéed mushrooms on top.
Mushrooms or a little béarnaise.
Oh, yes.
Or blue cheese. Or
high-level wines or high-level foods this works with.
Yes.
I mean, if you have a, if you're having a nice dinner party soon and you want to really, like, surprise people, buy this. Put it in the decanter. They're not going to know. And they're going to think it's something really, really special. You spend $16 on it. Fuck them. And they're going to go, no way, bro. And then you're like, why are you here? And go away. But seriously, you will fool people with this wine. Rarely do we say that. You will.
Well,
and if you really want to excite them, put the Cristo in there.
But this is a wine that goes back to our roots.
Oh, yeah.
Budget and entry price wine.
Oh, it's just gorgeous. It's a gorgeous wine.
We were mocking Wine Advocate.
I mean, 95 is still high, but still.
Still, it's not, we were mocking it.
I don't know.
Saying it was out of line.
I thought this would be an 86, 87.1. That's what I thought. You know, mocking? Spectator. They were lazy on their review.
Because there's a lot shitty more review.
Here. There's a lot more here. There's more on the palate, though, than on the nose. On the palate, this thing is a freaking kaleidoscope of loveliness. But it all is, it just works together. It just reminds me of other wines I've drank that cost a fucking shit ton more than this wine.
100%.
That we liked. You know? I mean, like the Casa Nuestra, what does that go retail? 70?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
It's a better wine than this, but it's $70.
Yes.
Not a lot better wine either. I mean, this wine is one of those rare oddities because it's $16. You're not gonna go buy the 70. Maybe the 74 will be better. Probably won't be. But the 72 is not this wine. It just isn't. The 71. I had the 71 as well. Not this wine. I had the 70. Not near this wine. This used to be a nice briary patch, Zin dominated. Tasty wine that went well at a barbecue. That's what it used to be.
You can still get this at wine.com.
Yeah, I'm going to.
I wonder if my cuz out in Chicago can get this at Binny's.
I bet he can get it cheaper.
But is it still available there? This is fantastic.
I would order some, except I have two orders coming this week. I have not
That's
had
never stopped you before.
I've never had any. I didn't have any orders like for like a month.
A day?
A month. Literally, I have not ordered for a month.
That doesn't sound right to me.
Well, the whole, you can't, you know, Becky knows exactly what it costs when it comes in. It costs more than $50. So I've, you know, Bedrock brought out their, Wine.com released Bedrock's Evio blend. I'm a sucker for Bedrock, and it's $45 for a Zin-based blend. Well, that's right. I bought that. And I bought a couple for the show, some sort of Tuscan, got a 91 from the Spectator. Okay. And then,
Evangelo?
Evangelo, yes.
Heritage Red?
Oh, yes. I couldn't resist that. I have a nice little Bedrock collection going in there with Ridge. Ridge and Bedrock are fighting for space. I also have Green Rennet there, too. I like those wines, though. Marietta also has a...
Your cellar's getting tight. We need to knock out the wall, and it needs some work.
That's true. That's true. But then, last night...
Ridge Litton Springs.
Yeah, I know. I have that.
97. I know. The 2020?
Yeah.
Hello.
I know. I have that. But last night, I broke out the big grill, the Masterbuilt. Remember that thing that is like a smoker?
Yeah.
Got out of the barn. put it on the deck, ordered a cover for it that fits it overnight, Amazon.
Okay.
$28. Beautiful cover. Really works. But last night, I did two big, Scott, like 2.5-inch thick pork chops and a bone-in ribeye that was 2 inches thick.
Okay.
You know, and then from Kroger, they sell black truffle butter.
Nice.
I know. So I had it set at 500. And so I put the pork chops in there early on the top rack. And so they cook slower on the top rack, but 500, but still cook slow. It crisp up all the fat.
Nice.
Cooked them down gorgeous. But then I threw the ribeye in there, right? Seared it. Then down at 350 for a while to cook it through. Pulled them off. Let the ribeye rest. Throw the black truffle butter on them. That melts all over. Sliced it all up, right? But, and that's all great. But I opened a bottle of Talani's Legit Cab.
I didn't know that.
Legit? Legit has like a jazz. There's a famous jazz player. I don't know jazz music, but they have a picture of a jazz player on there. And it's a 13. 13 is what they're selling on wine.com right now, the 13 vintage. Got a 94 from the Spectator. I bought it at 29. Bought a couple bottles at 29 a few months back. Actually, back last October. The Triple B had 3 glasses.
Well.
She's like, maybe I was just thirsty. I went, no. You liked Legit. And it was a quintessential, excellent cab. Italian cab. But an excellent cab.
Castelnuovo, Bardegna area.
Mm-hmm.
So, number 26, Wine Spectator, top 100 of 2019.
I ordered another bottle last night.
Yes.
So, and then a bottle. Remember the Puglia du Tufo? Tufo, yes. That Cabernet right there?
What's it beside? We're looking on the wall, folks.
Beside the duck horn. I'm pointing.
Yeah.
Scott and I, a long time ago, had something called Puglia du Tufo. It's an Italian Cabernet. The show never aired, and this, we're talking like 3 or 4 years ago, maybe 5 years ago.
Dude, longer than that.
Maybe 6 years ago. And I gave it a 91, and Scott gave it a 92, and we have no memory of this wine. We don't remember drinking it, but we have it written down that we loved it. I mean, that's a high score, and it's in the teens. I ordered another bottle.
So that's available at wine.com again.
Yeah, yeah. It didn't have this kind of, I don't know.
I think that's one I got from Twisted Vine.
Maybe. I don't recall. It's been too long.
It's so long ago.
Yeah. So we'll have that on the show. Then we also have, what is it? St. Julien Mountain Cuvée.
Ooh, yes.
It's like $11.
We need to do that Uruguayan.
We are going to do that. Next week we're going to do that, actually, folks.
Well,
folks, we're going to take a break. But then, we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So, on tonight's potpourri, Scott.
Yes, I'm ready. Are you ready?
It's not that interesting, Scott. No.
To fall in love.
First of all, the music turned off, which is a little scary. Can't have that.
It hasn't been on for most of the show.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well. Anyway.
Rob likes to play music in the background. It settles the voices in his head. Okay, I guess it really doesn't do that so well, does it?
Recently. There was an article in the Reader's Digest. Scott, I know you love Reader's Digest.
You do, Scott.
No, just for the listeners, just while they're laughing, you might want to repeat that. Say that again. You were reading what?
There was an article in the Reader's Digest. Is that even really a thing anymore? I mean, they have a website.
I don't know. You're the one who brought this up.
Well, anyway, it was a 15 red flags you are about to eat at a bad restaurant by Kimberly Holland.
That's really interesting to be in the Reader's Digest.
It is. And she wants you to know the warning signs. And we're going to talk. We've talked about Vincenzo's. I mean, Scott, we're going to talk about Vincenzo's in relationship, or in relation to this. And for those that don't know what we're talking about, you don't listen to the show, so fuck you. And Scott, the superstar, and myself had the wonderful pleasure of eating at Vincenzo's, which is allegedly, or purportedly, or they say, they are an Italian ristorante. Italian ristorante in Louisville, Kentucky, that you'd be better off going to Chuck E. fucking Cheese.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. You know, you might even get molested at Chuck E. fucking Cheese or shot in the parking lot. They don't have a parking lot at Vincenzo's. So if they had a parking lot and you could get shot in the parking lot before you went into Vincenzo's, that would be better than eating in Vincenzo's. So the warning signs.
15 warning signs.
The first one is a bit of a cliche. Anybody that's ever seen a Gordon Ramsay show, like, you know, restaurant, whatever it is, you know, Kitchen Nightmares. The menu is a mile long. They have Italian food to Indian food to Chinese. Basically talking about the Cheesecake Factory, but that's okay.
But so this sounds like, I'm sorry, this is going to be stereotyping, but sounds like an old people person. Issue.
I don't know. It's Reader's fucking Digest. I mean, who drinks
yes.
that?
Yes. I enjoy restaurants that do in this era still have a substantial menu.
Yeah.
And one of the great places that used to be, every town had one, a freaking old school diner that had 100 things on their menu.
But they're talking fine dining.
It's Reader's Digest. They're not talking fine dining.
They're talking about MCL Cafeteria.
Well.
Number two, maybe this is a little more applicable. The parking lot isn't clean.
What?
I don't know. That's what she wrote.
What?
That's right. The parking lot isn't clean. You know, you get out of your car and come face to face with open dumpsters, trash, and cigarette butts on the ground. You may want to keep driving, says Ken Rice. Oh, she even talked to someone.
We need to get another intern. Yeah. Intern did good quality control.
Rice says dirty windows and doors are also a sign that the restaurant isn't focused on cleanliness. What if they're missing the like part of the M on the bathroom? You know, you have like a wooden M. And they broke, and somebody went in and like broke off part of the M, like on Vincenzo's. You know? They did that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. What's three on the list?
Three. The restaurant has too many themes.
What?
Theme styles and designs are a great way for a restaurant to promote their personality to guests, but too many may be a red flag.
Yeah. Like, don't go in themed restaurants.
Such as a cool dive bar, but a nautical themed beach bar out back.
This is Reader's Digest?
Yes. Nautical
themed beach bar. It's a beach bar and it's nautical themed. Yeah, that's a reason to not go there when you're on vacation.
But it's a bar with two bars.
But it's a bar. So restaurants don't go in themed restaurants.
No.
If there's a theme, that's one too many.
Yes.
Don't go in restaurants for the theme.
Next.
For the food.
You want the next one?
What's the next one?
The staff appears disinterested.
Who the fuck wrote this? I'm disinterested.
I don't know.
Go to the next one.
What's her name? I'll tell you.
I don't care what her name
is. I'm gonna tell you her name. Who wrote this?
No, what I asked was who the fuck wrote this. That means that means they're a dumbass. I don't care what their name is.
Kimberly Holland.
Okay, that's great.
Are you calling her names? Are you thinking bad things of her?
I'm thinking this article sucks.
Well, so far it's not very good. On to the next one. The reviews are influencer heavy.
What?
Yeah.
No. Oh, God.
Come on.
Influencer?
Influencer heavy. Like Yelp reviews are good.
Yeah, Yelp reviews are good, but they're not influencer heavy. In Yelp reviews, everybody knows you can write your own Yelp reviews.
On Instagram,
mm-hmm.
they love it. And on Yelp, they hate it. That's what this says.
Yeah. Instagram or influencers.
That's right.
Yeah. Are your friends and family on Instagram?
I don't know. I'm not on Instagram to know.
Is it Instagram? You're on Instagram?
I don't know.
Well, I got news for you. Your friends and family are on Instagram. None of them are influencers. I got news for you. My friends and family are on Instagram. None of them are influencers. And they write reviews. That's the stupidest shit ever. What's next?
Everyone in the restaurant is a tourist. In New York City, that can actually make a difference. But
even in New York City, it's the better restaurants are going to have some tourists, but the better restaurants the locals are going to go to, too. I'm sure there's plenty of tourists that go to Minetta Tavern. But I'm sure there's plenty of locals that go to Minetta Tavern, and that's why it was top five in burgers in Yelp.
The next one.
For $38.
The next one is a Vincenzo's. It does apply to Vincenzo's. The restaurant smells. Vincenzo's smelled like mildew and butane gas.
Well, I don't know how you could even smell the mildew because it was overwhelming, the chafing dish aroma of
butane gas. Yes.
The gel aluminum cartons.
I don't
of
think so.
Fuel.
That was fucking propane, man. They had the
No. They had the little chafing bowl warmers that gelatin Asian orange fuel.
It's gross. So yes, Vincenzo's did smell.
You remember there was an appetizer we ate there that we liked.
I didn't even know what the fuck those appetizers were. They were just pasta dishes and they weren't very good. They were mushy.
No, the tortellini was good.
I was like, okay. If I wasn't really drunk, I would have said something. But I think I already was really drunk, and so I didn't say anything.
You did say something.
I know. I was like,
no. Well, not as much as Steve said.
I know. Yeah, he got very angry. And you were very angry.
I wanted to leave as soon as...
I know.
After the appetizers, great. I wanted to pay and leave.
But then it was enjoyable seeing how upset you were. And we thought it was funny.
My dish was better than your dish.
It was a funny joke until our dishes came.
Until your Salisbury steak came out.
Stop being funny when that came out.
Until your Salisbury steak came out.
It's always funny until somebody gets hurt. That's the old, you know.
It's always funny until it's funny about you.
Well, oh my God. Next one, the bathroom is dirty. Are they saying Waffle House sucks? Next one, the kitchen is chaotic. How would you know?
Well, but even if it's an open... If you're at a busy restaurant, a good restaurant, the kitchen is going to be chaotic, but it's a controlled chaos.
This is like if somebody in like eighth grade had to write a paper on something and they would just recite the obvious bullshit. The next one, the errors keep on coming. So if they keep making mistakes, it's a bad restaurant.
Duh.
Next one, the building is in a state of disrepair. Duh.
No, actually, no. Some of the best restaurants I've ever been in, the building's in a state of disrepair. Completely irrelevant.
Here's another one. The restaurant is empty.
Okay. No, what this is like, a sixth grader had a civics assignment, and they decided to write this restaurant critique thing. Mm. And they went home, and part of the assignment was to interview family members. And they interviewed Grandma and Aunt Betty and Uncle Stu for their opinion, and they quoted them in this article.
It gets worse.
That's what this is from.
The next one, the menus are a mess. Meaning it has stains on it. Menus with breadcrumbs, food stains, and spilled sauces signal they are not cleaned regularly. Yeah.
Or, yeah, go away.
The diners.
Is Kimberly an eighth grade middle school student?
I don't know. The diners aren't
easy,
happy.
Easy, Wilfred.
I'm jumping
easy,
in.
Easy, Wilfred. We're talking about Kimberly the eighth grader.
Well, that's true. I know.
Easy.
I forgot.
Stop.
Got a nice oil drum to put her in. But anyway, the diners aren't happy. That's the next one. Of course, they're not happy. Next, the food is jumbled on the plate. That's Vincenzo's. The food is jumbled on the... Next, what else you got? Oh, that's the end. Kimberly has nothing else. Kimberly is a lifestyle writer and editor based in Birmingham, Alabama. Because that's where all the great writers are based. In Birmingham, there's nothing other than racism and cousin fucking. Nothing else is based in Birmingham, Alabama, aside from those two things.
In Kimberly's 8th grade middle school.
That's right.
So yes. On the Reader's Digest website.
Hey, when not organizing her books by color, Holland enjoys toying with new kitchen gadgets and feeding her friends all her cooking experiments. That sounds like Hannibal Lecter.
Did you say nude?
New. New.
You said nude.
New. I said new.
On the Reader's Digest
her
page.
Cooking experiments. I cut out a hobo's pancreas and now I'm serving it to you. It's my new cooking experiments. This is the problem with Kimberly, though, and her little thing there.
Oh, this is? Yeah. This is the problem?
She doesn't have friends.
Wilfred, neither do you.
I wonder if she does the thing where someone's naked and she puts sushi all over them. And they're like the plate.
What?
Yeah, haven't you seen that?
Anyhow.
Well, don't ignore what I said.
I'm ignoring
what
you're saying.
No.
In the etiquette section of Reader's Digest this month, are 14... polite ways you're talking about aging that are actually rude.
Yeah.
Then in the humor section, there's 100 funny insults that'll roast your friends and foes. Wilfred pulls his jokes from there.
Hey, Scott.
Hey, Wilfred.
What do you call a herd of cows masturbating?
Jesus Christ.
Beef stroking off.
You've said that on air before, you asshole.
I don't care. Anyway, what do you call someone who refuses to fart in public?
Rob the Wine Guy?
A private tutor. I didn't know what that meant. I figured
Lord,
it out.
My mom tells better jokes than that.
Did you fart? No, that was my butt blowing you a kiss. What? I love you. Well, I don't know. What? That's not a joke. I don't know.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, Scott, what's the difference between a woman with PMS and a terrorist? This is true, by the way.
Yeah?
You can negotiate with a terrorist.
Oh,
I agree with that one.
You could go to hell for that one.
Yes. Yes. That's nice. Yes.
Blind guy says, what? Hey, I've got a good potpourri for tonight. Scott says, what does it involve? And one guy says, well, nothing by Wilfred Wrong.
Hey, by the way,
and then
folks,
we do 15 reasons you know you're at a bad restaurant from
I've got,
Reader's Digest.
I've got Scott's top 10 pickup lines. These are the things Scott used to pick up women. Number one, this is what Scott used. Scott wrote this. Please tell your tits to stop looking at my eyes. That's number one.
That's fantastic.
Number two, life is like a penis. Women make it hard for no reason. Scott says that. You say that.
What the hell's wrong with
Number
you?
Three, having sex in an elevator is wrong on so many levels. Scott always says that. Next, a Scott truism. Sex is like a burrito. Don't unwrap. Or that baby's on your lap. Scott says that. That's what he says. And then he goes, you know, one day a little boy wrote to Santa Claus, please send me a sister. Santa Claus wrote him back, okay, send me your mother. Scott loves that joke. Anyway.
That's actually a pretty good joke.
Yeah, Scott, yeah, you wrote it. Scott said, life is like toilet paper. You're either on a roll or taking the shit from some asshole. Then he said, last week a girl asked me for sex. He said I had to disappoint her. So I said, yes. That's Scott for you, folks. Thank you. Good night.
Those were pickup lines.
No, that's just some.
Thank you and good night.
Yeah,
just
that's
say,
right.
Yeah, that's, keep saying
mic
it.
Drop.
Keep going.
Our mics run stands or I drop. They're very expensive.
You should just drop.
I can't drop them.
Nevertheless, folks, we're going to take a break. But we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. Both of us are realizing that it must be very easy to make a living from Reader's Digest.
No, I'm not. I'm realizing that Rob's an idiot for thinking that anything about Reader's Digest was funny.
I mean, I don't know.
He's going to think it's funny because I just signed him up for a subscription.
If you can speak English and you can write. I mean, they had an editor that fixed all her typos, obviously.
No, they
didn't. It doesn't require a lot of original thought or anything.
Of course, neither does our show.
It does. That does.
This is not what I would describe as original thought.
It takes a lot of talent. It takes a lot of talent for me.
Again,
original. Like, folks, you know how hard I work? Oh, my gosh.
He works hard. He does all the editing. He really works hard at this.
Tell all the jokes. Read what you write. The perverted shit. It's hard work.
Sure.
And Scott just sits there going, my God. He's just sitting there being faux offended.
No, I'm sitting there being just enthralled.
You're a bitch, Scott. You laugh at this shit all the time. I tell these jokes and he's like, oh my God.
I just realized my voice, I really do black out when I do Wilfred's voice.
You just really black out.
Really? Seriously, I don't like, it doesn't register that it's me.
I'm sure it doesn't.
But then again, I think all the greats, whenever they're doing a character, the Andy Kaufmans, those kind of people, it was kind of the same way with them, too.
Did you say greats?
The greats, yeah.
Greats. You're comparing yourself to the greats.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
You're a fucking psycho.
I mean, I know that I'm doing myself a disservice putting those people in the conversation, but still. So, the Marietta Sellers Old Vine Red, the lot number 73. Scott, where are you with this wine?
It's fantastic. Highly recommended. I couldn't recommend anything higher for the price point, for the quality you're getting. I don't have a comparison point. I don't think I've had their previous lots of this wine.
I have.
I think you've got like a dozen different elements going on in this wine on the palate.
Mm-hmm.
Multiple fruits. I called it just short of tar. Rob thought turmeric. There's some kind
turmeric.
Of herbal thing there. I think there might be another expression of minerality, a little gravel thing. But where it shines is in the finish. One, the length. Two is it shifts gears, the finish is still going strong, and then the tannic expression hits. Rob said he likes the multiple kisses of pepper, cayenne, black pepper. I'll throw in there's a little white pepper in there. We're getting a little crazy, maybe, but
in the earthiness.
Really good wine. Really, really good wine. The way they've treated this wine is just fantastic. Bold comparisons, comparing it to a Turley product. It's Turley-esque.
Yeah, I would agree.
I'm at 92 of my points. 92, 93. I'm going to go 92. We thought that Parker's Advocate was insane. The only thing we disagree with their review at this point is the nose. Mm-hmm. Which, who gives a shit, really? It's a good.
Love to smell something that smells like they said.
The apricot.
Apricot
whatever.
Perfume. Yeah,
but what the fuck is that?
Aside of that. And maybe, you know, we decanted and they didn't. Who knows? 92 of my points. Easy.
We don't
solid.
Use drugs. They do. I don't know. You know.
Speak for yourself. Yeah.
We drug test on this show. You should be on drugs. You know.
I didn't test anything tonight.
That's true. Well, it's random. I get tested all the time. I always fail.
You fail, all right.
That's right. I administer and I fail. I don't know. I should know what the answer is.
What's your score, sir?
92 as well.
Yeah.
No, and I agree with Scott. It's somewhere between 92 and 93, but I'm going to stick with the 92. Lovely wine. And the fact is, Turley-esque, what else can you say about a $16 wine when you say it's Turley-esque? That's from us, especially Scott, that's like the most wonderful compliment you can pay a wine in this genre, in the Zin-based genre. Does it taste of Zin? Not so much. It goes above that you know there's Zen there in the background, and it does tell a little bit, the Roman, is it Ronan or Roman? I can't recall. I think it was Roman.
I think it's Roman.
It wasn't the most potent, rich Zen either. It wasn't. And so this, I'm assuming, has kind of made a lot of that grape stock, because it reminds me a little bit of that. But
it's kind of weird that this is a step above that. But we've had that before.
No, no. The ancillary grapes, the Syrah, the Petite Syrah, those.
Grenache.
Barbaric. You have a good Zin stock, a good base Zin, but then really great Syrah, really great Grenache. We know that Marietta makes great Syrahs. Yeah. We know that. And we know the Cristo has great Grenache and Syrah in it. So if they're using any of that stuff, the fact that this wine is fantastic can't be a surprise, because the 18 and the 19 Cristos are magnificent. And that's what those vintages are that they blend in with this. So, you know, you put a drop of one of those great, 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 great stocks in this wine, you're going to make it delicious. Yeah, and that's what this wine is.
And Roman's a different designate. It's North Coast designate.
Yeah, it is. So this wine, Hall of Fame, tip of the cap, and quite frankly, to Marietta, just, you guys have just, from a winery.
Just stop. Well, just Marietta Cellars, just stop.
No, under $50.
Freaking fantastic.
I can't think of a winery, no jokes, that has been this excellent across all of their wines. Yeah. And I think we've done virtually everything. I have like the Game Trail and a couple things in the cellar that I haven't drank yet, but I'm talking about like the Arme, the Cristos, and this three wines, and the Romans are good
Roman
too.
Wasn't bad.
Yeah, those three wines, but this the Roman or this the Cristo and the Arme, those three wines are three of the best wines. I think the three best wines we've ever had. From one winery, from a certain period of time, we've never because we gave the Army got similar scores too.
Yeah,
we've never had that before. So Marietta Cellars really needs to be celebrated and supported by all of you, because
they're fantastic folks,
and they're making things that they're you know what they made what I consider really the best sub $40 cab in Army out there. Pretty much. And then they made the best Rhone blend of from California, period, that we've ever really drank in Cristos. And then they made this, which is just it's a transcendent wine that just put $16 in the yeah. fucking rear view. So one winery did all of these things, different disciplines, different styles of wine, different grapes.
And this is a non-vintage.
Yeah.
So this is a absolute mutt of a creation.
Yeah. The RMA is unrelated to this.
Yep.
But they're both excellent. Why?
Because they know what they're doing
by a great winery.
They know what the fuck they're doing.
Yeah. So folks, if you look for quality, look for Marietta Cellars.
If you have not taken us up on trying out a Marietta Cellars product, it's your loss.
Yeah.
Get off the shitter, wipe your ass, get to the store.
That's a little harsh, but...
No. Wipe your ass, get off the shitter, get to the store, buy Marietta Cellars.
And quite frankly, one of my favorite cabs is the Arme. So, and it's not just us. We've recommended it timelessly, and lots of people we know have tried the Arme, and I've never had one person say it was anything other than wow. So, same thing with Cristos. You know, it's a special wine, special winemaker.
We have to try the Syrah now. We have to try. They've got an Angeli Syrah. Yeah. We have to try it.
The Ghost Block?
I don't know about the Ghost Block. It's an Angeli Syrah.
Buy it. I love a Syrah. I love a Syrah. Jesus Christ. Anyway.
What the fuck is wrong with
this? I don't know. Oh, so, folks, for Rob the Wine Guy and Scotty Licensed Taxi Driver, we are going to bid you adieu. But see you next time here on the Wine Vault. Good night.